We are now, Rabosai, we are now entering what we could call the heart of the sugya in Makis about Lav Shenitak Laseh, Lav Shekadmo Aseh. We've just begun to scratch the surface in terms of the preliminaries. We've been introduced to the concept of Lav Shekadmo Aseh, Lav Shenitak Laseh. We've seen a number of examples of it. We've discussed Ones Shigiresh. We've seen sugyas over here. We've looked at some other sugyas, primarily in Tmura Davdalat on the days. We're beginning to get acquainted with some of the ideas out there, but now we're really going to have to break through a very difficult amud or so of Gemara, which really goes to the heart of many of the issues. And part of our challenge is going to be not just Pasha learning up the Gemara, reading the Gemara according to one version, according to one Nusach, Rashi, Tosfos, and then we're going to see other Rishonim and how they were Goris and how they learned the Gemara, but not just simply to understand how to teach the word for the Gemara, but the underlying logic, the svaris that come out of each shita and how they, the implications of that, or the nature of the relationship between the lav and the aseh, by initak laseh, exactly what is that relationship, and how does each shita understand its, you know, within each manda amar, and how does each shita respond to the issues that come up with the other approaches in the sugya. So there's a lot, of course, to sort out, a lot of things that get intertwined in Yonim of Hasba and so on. It's very gishmak, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to raise the bar too high, but simply I think that everybody here is capable of really learning it well, and we'll try to do our best to do that. So let's begin reading the Gemara Pashup Shad with Rashi, and just there's a lot of love that's just in the Rashi itself. And then keeping in mind, of course, how what we're going to see now is going to square or not necessarily dovetail with some of the inyanim that we saw before relating to the nature of Lav Shenitak Laseh and the reason why you put this. Okay, so let's again get our bearings in terms of what we've seen so far in the Amud, and we pick up from Hanicha in the bottom of the Amud. So we saw a discussion revolving around Ones Shigiresh, which the Braisa tells us if a person violates the Lav of Yuchal Shalcha when he's ma'anis a woman in Arab Sula, the Torah gives these specific instructions that he's to marry her and he's not allowed to divorce her. So we explained that you have a lav of Oyuchal Shalcha, and that is violated when the person is Megarish, the woman that he was Ma'anes. And then it says that if he's not a Kohen, if he's Israel, then after he violates the lav, so he may take her back, and if he does so, Masbir Ve'en Aloka. And with that, he's exempted from the Malkus. So the problem that was raised, the pshat and why Masbir Ve'en Aloka, is because it's considered a lav shenita klasei, because the Torah has an assay to marry her back. And if you kind of say, you don't get Malkus. So that's what it says in the Braisa. The problem was that Rabbi Yochanan seemed to assume that there's a difference between Lav Shenitak Laseh and Lav Shekadmo Aseh. Lav Shekadmo Aseh doesn't have the same halacha. Kadmo Aseh, according to Rashi, the main idea of Rashi seems to be that the Aseh could have been fulfilled even without violating the Lav. And since the mitzvah is to marry her, and that exists even before he violates the Lav of Loyucha L'Shalcha, so this is the Lav Shekadmo Aseh. It's also Kadmo Aseh from another perspective. If you explain it based on the way it's written in the Chumash, it's written first Loisi Leisha, and then Loyucha L'Shalcha. One way or the other, it's Lav Shekadmo Aseh, seemingly. And yet it says that you will not get Malkus, and that's a problem on Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara tries to resolve it all kinds of ways and finally arrives at the point that we can understand as a separate Aseh that specifically is directed to the situation at hand after Gerushin. And that is derived from the words Kol Yamav, where the Torah adds the words Kol Yamav after saying Loyucha L'Shalcha. And that indicates the following Yesod, says Rava, Kol Yamav Be'amod V'achzer, that for the rest of his life, he has the obligation to retake her. Exactly how you get from Kol Yamav this new idea of an Aseh after the Lav, so we saw various Pshatim, three Pshatim in total. One is Rashi, that seems to say that it's modifying the Loyucha L'Shalcha. It shouldn't be a Shiluchin of Kol Yamav, which is a way of saying that if he divorces her, it shouldn't remain in indefinitely in a state of Shiluchin, that it should remain his entire life, that she should be divorced, but that obviously indicates he should take her back. The other way to learn is that the Kol Yamav is going on the L'Osi Elisha, as if it would say L'Osi Elisha Kol Yamav, so the mitzvah is Kol Yamav to be married to her. And finally, the Ritva says that the word Kol Yamav is an independent idea that tells me, self-understood, Kol Yamav, he should marry her, he should take her back, Kol Yamav. either way, that's the main thrust of the sugya. And then we have a two-line gemara that follows that we read yesterday, which is a back and forth between Rav Papa and Rava regarding how can Rav Shekadmo Asay be different than Nitag Asay, that you'll get Malkus, but what about the fact that it's unlike the Rav of Los Achsom, which is the marker for the Chi of Malkus? So Rava responds, but having the extra Asay doesn't make it any worse. To the contrary, Migma Gara, so for sure it's going to get Malkus. On that, Rav Papa challenges Rava further, what about Rav Shenitag Asay? Why is that different? And Rava gives the answer of Lintuke Rav Yehuda Asa, which seems to be the end of the conversation. And we had different ways to understand what Rava means. Does Rava mean an independent svara regarding why Nita Klase is part of the Malkis, separate from the idea that it's not like Rav de Hasima? It's a separate idea. We understand the Torah wants you to minatik the Rav from Malkis. Or is it basically building off of the idea that because of this svara, therefore it's seen as being Migvagara, in fact, being less than Rav de Hasima? That's what the Ritva seems to learn. And that is the next Gemara. Now, it's a little bit ambiguous. You read a Gemara that picks up and says Hanicha. And this is what lends itself to multiple interpretations, as we'll see at least three pshat in how to read the Gemara. We're going to start with Rashi, but understand why the ambiguity of the Lashon of the Gemara would lend itself to more than one pshat. So the Gemara says, introduces now a new Gemara, and says the following. Hanicha lemanda amar bitlo velo bitlo. All this is well and good according to the Manda Amar Bitlo Vlo Bitlo. Now we're being hit with a lot of information at once. Some sheet are called Bitlo Vlo Bitlo. We'll have to explain what that means. Bitlo Vlo Bitlo, that the issue of Nitag Asay regarding Malkus is going to depend on the variables called Bitlo versus Lo Bitlo. Then everything is good. What exactly is good? We have to figure out. What's the Hanicha going on? Elu Manda Amar Kimo Vlo Kimo. But if you go with the other shita, so we have a machlokes, whether bitlo velo bitlo versus kimo velo kimo. Kimo velo kimo, again, would have to do with when there'll be malchus for nita klase. The issue is going to depend on actually whether you're mekayim or not mekayim the assay, as distinct from the issue of bitlo velo bitlo, that it's going to depend on whether you mevatel the assay or not mevatel the assay. Again, these are just words. But Mar is asking, Amandam Kimbo Kimo Maiko Memer, something is not going to sit well with us. Again, but reading words of the Gemara, we have to figure out what exactly is the Gemara asking on. What is the Hanicha going on? And the Gemara comes back and says, well, no problem, because Midi Hutaima El Rav Yochanan, the entire issue that we're discussing is Rav Yochanan, and he's the one who happens to hold, again, the Gesso Shalafaneinu, Bitlo Velo Bitlo. Okay, so what exactly is being said? So as I noted, there are at least three pshatim in reading the Gemara, and there are two different girsos in the Gemara. One is the girsa that we've just read. The other one flips everything around. So we're going to start, of course, with Rashi and proceed from that. So exactly what is bitlo velo bitlo, what is kimo velo kimo, and what is the issue of hanicha relating to? What is the Gemara asking that this will sit well with us according to bitlo velo bitlo and not kimo velo kimo? So there's a mouthful here in this Rashi. Let's take it slow. Says Rashi, Hanicha, Lamanda Tani, Bitlo, Velo Bitlo, Elo, Lamanda Omar, Lamanda Tani, Kimo, Velo Kimo, okay, Rashi's gear, so was Tani, we'll see on Amid Beis that there's apparently these versions were coming from a Braisa, and the question ultimately tracks itself back to exactly what was the correct version of the Braisa that was reported for the Amorayim. So Rashi's gear is in fact Tani, which is what we see on Amid Beis. So Rashi says, the one whose version of the Braisa was Kima Velo Kima, that the issue is going to depend on whether you're Mekayim or not Mekayim the Asay, as opposed to whether you're Mevato or not Mevato the Asay, Ma'iko Lameima. What exactly is being asked? Harda Amrit, says Rashi Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara's Hanicha is going on the teretz that Rabba provided. This is going back a few lines in the Gemara. No, it's not going on what was immediately stated before here, before this line about the Nituke Lavi Huda Asa, that dialogue between Rav Papa and Rava. This is going back a few lines earlier. In other words, that teretz that Rava gave to answer up for Onas Shegiresh, that the reason why it's a Lav Shenita Glase is because we type the words Kol Yamav, and we explain that what you have here in the Kol Yamav is the Torah is giving me this extended amount of time that you could take her back for this window of time of Kol Yamav, and Ba'amod Vav there. So that, says the Gemara, can only make sense according to one man, the Amar, namely Bitgo Bo Bitgo and Akima Bo Akima. Hada Amrit, Ko Yama Ba Modach Zerkoi, that which you have said, that the entire duration of his life, of this person, the Ma'anes, his wife, has incumbent on him the obligation to retake the woman that he divorced. And with that, asiso lav shenita grase, you have now made it, you've converted this lav of ulicha l'shalcha into a lav shenita grase with the koyamav. V'hirchavta lozman l'kiyum ha'asei koyamav. What you've done in effect is given him a long window of time. You've extended his time that he has available to him to fulfill the assay of taking her back for his entire life. Ugit varecha, and according to what you said, hadisanya magze ve'en aloke, that when it says in Ebraisa that we quoted before by Onis Yagirech, magze ve'en aloke, he takes her back and thereby doesn't get malchus. La'olam kama. That means that the mazir means that forever is always the option that he can be mazir. So it means he won't get malchus. By default, he won't get malchus. He's not about to get malchus because of the fact that the window of time is extended for him to take her back. The mazir ve'in aloka la'olam kama, meaning so long as what? So what exactly would be that? At what point would the door close on him and he would get malchus? As follows, kozman to yocholomani malchzir. No, the malchzir means that as long as he can make that declaration and affirm, I will do it. I am not doing it this minute, I'm not doing it tomorrow, I will do it. I'll do it. As long as he expresses his intention to do it and the possibility remains for him to do it, and he has not negated that possibility, as we'll soon see. So kozman to yocholomani malchzir. So then, aim based in Malkinos. That's essentially what you have said. The Kol Yamav, says Rashi, suggests that he has a long window of time that he could be Mekayim the Asay, and that gives him that buffer that's created from the Malkus, that he won't get Malkus, is a function of that window of time that he has available to him to be Mekayim the Asay. That fits perfectly like a glove with one of these two manda amrit. So Rashi again, Rashi is teaching, and a lot here that we can question, but for now, Bitosis is among those who question certain assumptions in Rashi. But the point of Rashi is that the Gemara is assuming that the idea of Kol Yamav, Damod Barzer, translates into that the time that he has available to him, to Mekayim the Asay, does not come to any particular halt. Except, as we'll soon see, if there's a point where he himself makes it impossible to Mekayim the Asay. But short of that, it can be many, many years that can go by, and he has not yet complied with the directive of the Torah to do the Asay, but Lamaisa, the Asay is available to him to be Mekayim, and he could say, whether he's saying it or not is even not even relevant. Kozman sheyachol lomar, notice, it's not even that he has to say it. Kozman sheyachol lomar, as long as the possibility is there for him to say, listen, I'll do it. So then, Beis Din is their hands are tied, you could say, and Ein Beis Din Malkin also, and there is no Malkus that's to be given for violating the law. And again, we have to see more of the Hesper for this. But this idea that the Kol Yamav allows him that extra time not to get Malkus because he has saves available to him, ha nicha, all that fits perfectly, l'man d'tani l'kaman. These are the l'man d'tanis of Rashi. The one who has the version of the Braisa. This is a machokis, how to read a two-part Braisa that has, in one case, chayiv, in one case, pater. And the shaila is, what are the two halves of the chayiv and pater? Is it about chemo versus low chemo? Is it about bitlo below bitlo? So ha nicha l'madet tani l'kaman regarding the lav hanita glasei, regarding lav hanita glasei. So what is the version that we're now going with? Detail es ha'sei, if the person who did the aveira himself, he did something, some action to the mevatel the asay. Mevatel doesn't just mean that he didn't do it, but he actively destroyed the possibility. He did some ma'aseh that with what he did, it becomes now impossible forever going forward to be mekayem ve'aseh anymore. That's called bita ve'aseh. Then and only then, chayiv al halaf. If he's mevatel ve'aseh, then he's chayiv for malchus for the halaf. But short of that, lo bita ve'aseh pater. Notice, there's something very important to emphasize here. That Rashi is telling us the man da amar bito v'lo bitlo, the only thing that's going to trigger the chiyav malchus at the end of the story is that he is mevatel v'aseh. Rashi is going to give a mashal by Ones in a minute. In other words, understand. Many years could go by, the aseh could be fulfilled. He's not getting malchus. But let's even talk about another case. Let's talk about a case where the assay right now is no longer possibly to be fulfilled. But it's not through his doing. So, Marshall, give me an obvious example by Ones Shigiresh where something happened and he can't mekayem the assay anymore.
The woman died.
Woman died, right? So he didn't kill her, right? But she died. So obviously the assay is no longer an option. And now what we're saying here is a step further, emphasizing. Bitlo means that too would not be cause or ground for him to get malchus. Because what has to happen is not just that he violated the lav, but that he did something to be mevato the aseh. So that is a very interesting combination here. But this is what Rashi is explaining for bitlo v'lo bitlo, and he's lining it up with the drush of Kol Yamav. We haven't said much yet, Yisrael Meir, but I'll answer anyway. Go ahead. We're still going very, very, very cautiously. Yes.
Earlier in Rashi, it said, "Kol zman sheyachol lomar ani mechazer ein based in malchinoso." So, isn't it Tali also? It says, "Kol zman sheyachol lomar ani mechazer." Any time I wish I can say that I can go back to marry her, and now it's not a zman which he's able to go back and marry her. So, even though it's not necessarily biyadayim, shouldn't that also play into effect?
I hear you, but you see, Rashi before wasn't getting to all the fine print. Rashi was giving you the point in terms of Amod V'Hazer. But now Rashi is now plugging that in to Bitlo V'Bitlo. Now we're going to see it in a more refined aspect. In other words, it requires the Bitlo V'Yadayim. But obviously that's going to go back to the case over here as well. Rashi didn't have to get into all the details of Bitlo V'Bitlo yet because that he didn't see in Amod V'Hazer. That, therefore, that much already, you know, you don't have to say. What has to be relevant is that what I see a modal there that's not compatible with chemo below chemo and is compatible with bitlo below bitlo. And that has to do with the notion of archav hazman. Whether there's another aspect on top of that, that it's not just that this man is there and it's available, but that he made it no longer possible, that's another detail that's going to be relevant for bitlo below bitlo. That's, I think, why Rashi didn't mention that point yet, because that's not yet on the radar screen. So let's go back to Rashi. So again, so we're explaining that the point of the Gemara's Kasha, the Hanicha, is predicated on that teretz that we said, Amod V'Achzer, which we understood to mean that the length of time is indefinite in terms of the ability to mekayem the aseh, and that is therefore going to be the preventing us to get to give him malchus. So therefore, then we understand. We can say that if we hold bitlo v'lo bitlo. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? L'mad etanil kaman b'lava nitekla asei bitel asasei chayiv alalav, lo bitel sei pata. Now, what does that mean? Now, Rashi, again, is giving us a lot of lumdis, even as we're just learning up the Gemara, just on a simple level to read the Kasha, we have to swallow a lot of very important lumdis here. And we haven't even yet read the Machlokas, but the Gemara is alluding to it, so Rashi gives you right in the beginning the whole lumdus, on some level. If there's more lumdus, Sebastian's going to say on the day, but at least now to get a sense of what it means. What does it mean to say, bitlo v'lo bitlo, that you can't get malchus unless you are mevato di aseh? Listen to what Rashi says. That means, bitlo aseh, lo bitlo aseh chayev alav, lo bitlo aseh pater. So Rashi says a very important idea. Sha'alav taloi Okay, I'm taking a very, very long time right now because the more that we can let this sink in now, the more that the sugya will be much easier to handle as we proceed. So we're laying a foundation here. Shalav Tavoy Bibito Lase. What bitro vobitro means is that the lav is dependent on the bito lase. They go together. Again, a lot of the details have to still be fleshed out, but listen to the words. The lav itself is linked, is dependent on bito lase, on that which you are mevatel lase. Listen further in Rashi. The eno nigmar, the lav is not finished. The lav is not yet complete. Again, what that means exactly, we'll have to know how to define it precisely. But the words are interesting. The eno nigmar, something about the lav is not yet fully developed. Ad shiyevatel es ta'aseh, and here Rashi makes it very clear what you need for the malchus to kick in. Ad shiyevatel es ha'aseh biyadayim bitul olam. Shelo Yuchal is Kaim Ode. Again, it can't be more clear than Rashi's words are right now. What needs to happen is you are the person who did the Aveira, who violated the Lav, had to be the one, not somebody else. He had to do it. He had to be Mivatel Esasei Biadayim, that means with his own hands. It had to be a Maisa, that's Mivatel Biasei, but in such a way that's not just temporary, but irreversible. It's not to say he makes it temporarily impossible. That's not enough. He has to mevatel be'aseh that it can never come back as a possibility ever again. And he has to be the one to do it. Bitul olam, shelo yuchal is kayim od. And only then, if you could say, is the lav nigmar, and is there a basis for malchus? And exactly when you would have such a thing, Rashi's going to give an example by Onis. How many other cases are there? That's the sugya of Zion. If there are other examples that we can identify that this would actually be true, because it's not a simple scenario to come up with. There might be dozens of Lav Shenitzak Laseis in the Chumash, but how many of them could have this possibility of Malkus according to Bitlo Vlo Bitlo? Not simple at all. But that's a sugya daf ahead from now. Says Rashi again, that's the mandama Bitlo Vlo Bitlo, that the Lav is toloi bebitlo lasei ve'eno nigmar, achivatel sasei biadayim, if we take that shita, then let's go back to the Hanicha, Ika Lenemar, then we can come back and say what we said over here regarding Onis. We can say, Kol Yamav, that the entire duration of his life, Yeshlo Takana Bechazara, then he has this remedy, so to speak, that means by coming back and taking her back. Because since there is the way that he could take her back, so that is preventing the malchus. And why would that be? Because in a certain way, the lav is not nigmar, you could say, as Rashi just read it, the words of Rashi, achivatel es asei. So having the asei available, and it has not become negated through you, therefore, there is that possibility of amod v'achzer kol yom. Because how would you be mevatel the asay? What would have to happen? Rashi gives you an example. Rashi throws a Gemara that comes up later, which Lemaisa, the Rishonim already pointed out, but in others, it's not really a maskana. The Gemara ends up saying that there is hafara, but Rashi goes according to at least the Havamina of the Gemara, to at least give you a muscle that you could have had, at least theoretically, an example of being mevatel b'aseh of taking her back, of amod v'achzer. Namely, if he does what? If he makes a neder that she shall not get hanah from him, and he doesn't make such a neder in a way that cannot have any way that it can be matir neder. Right, there's a certain way to do it. That's right. And the Gemara is going to discuss it again. Whether it holds up with Maskana, we'll have to see. Rashi gives you a scenario that he can do a Maisa B'Yadayim to make it impossible for him to ever be Mekayim B'Yaseh. So all this, yes.
Is it okay if I ask a question on the Lashonis of Rashi, Lashon of Rashi here?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was having a little trouble when Rashi says like lo bata es ase putter. Are you really, is a person really putter if he doesn't bata the ase, or you're just not chayv yet? Like why does he use the lashon of putter?
So In other words, it, as of now, that's what it would mean. Pater means you cannot give him malchus. Meaning the status right now is he's not chayv malchus.
Okay.
You're struck by the Russian pater. No, you're saying it's sort of like dependent on later. Nope. Lamaisa, as things stand right now, you're pater. You're not chayv. You have to take a stand. Are you chayv or you pater? So I would just say right now, low detail pater. In other words, you could maybe argue that the reason why the word is used is to contrast it from the other Manda Amar that says as soon as you can say it's low kiyim, whatever that means, we'll have to soon see in Rashi, the low kiyim is already chayiv, and you're saying no, low bitel is as long as, even if it was low kiyim, it was low bitel, it was putter. That was the contrast to the other Manda Amar. Maybe that's why it says putter, but I hear what's bothering you. Okay. So this is what Rashi says has to happen by onus shegiveh. She has to do a ma'aseh b'yadayim to mevatel. Rashi gives you an example of that. So according to all of this, then we understand why you can talk about kol yamav as giving him this extended amount of time to mekayim the aseh. And short of that, bitul b'yadayim, you won't get malchus. And all this fits with the idea of kol yamav making it a lav shenita glase as per the earlier sugya. However, now we turn to the other mandama. Now, so we get a little bit of a picture so far in Rashi, the very preliminary Rashi, a bitlo v'lo bitlo. Some of the key language of Rashi is that the lab is totally the bitlo l'asei, and the idea that eino nigmar, keeping those words in mind, eino, the lab is not nigmar, achivatel sasei b'yadayim, you need also to be mevatel it yourself. That's the mandama bitlo v'lo bitlo, and that's what the Gemara fits beautifully with Kol Yamav, Bamo Dal's there, the Kol Yamav is certainly compatible with Bitlo, the Lo Bitlo, because the Kol Yamav is all assuming the Lo Bitlo, that's the Kol Yamav. Good, beautiful. However, now we turn to the other mandama, and let's see how Rashi is masked with that mandama, and what the Gemara means to ask. Says Rashi, Vayter, El, Ulaman, the Tani, but according to the other one who learns in the Braisa differently, he says, this is what it can depend on. Kiyem es ha-sei potter. Chemo below chemo means chemo means chemo sase, mekayim yase patur. Low chemo chayiv. What needs to happen to be patur is you have to have a fulfillment of the ase. If you don't have the ase fulfilled, then you're chayiv. Exactly what is that window of time? We'll soon see in Rashi in a second. But then, what would that mean in terms of the lamdas? Now, look how Rashi touches the lamdas in contrast to the other manda amma. What this means is shahasei tikuno shalavhu. The asei is the tikun of the lav. That's the tikun. The tikun is the asei. The ein halav taloi bebito asei. Unlike the other shita, that the lav is not nigmar, as Rashi said before, until you mevatel the asei bitul olam. Rashi says this mandama says the lav is not taloi bitul asei. The lav, and we'll soon see later, Lishona Sabashi, the lav in effect is nigmar. The lav is nigmar with the what? With what is the lav nigmar? Take a guess, Rabbi say. With what is the lav nigmar according to this man, the Omar? Chemo velo chemo. No, Binyamin. Mm-hmm. With what? No, somebody.
Gire.
With what?
When
is the lav nigmar, Lechora, according to Rashi? What would you say? We could have to bring support to this from later Rashis. Not
is it
with what?
Just when he buzzed the law itself, when he even divorces the woman, no, isn't it?
Exactly. So again, Rashi says, according to Kimo Vlo Kimo, Ha'asei Tikuno Shalav. It's a remedy for the law. The Ena Lav Toloi the Bitul Asei. It's not that the law is dependent on being Mevatel the Asei. And I might add here, maybe let's even add here, not only that, it's not even totally, not, and this maybe lies in the words of Rashi. It's the lab is not totally in his being mevatel the asay, but let's even say it in a more precise way. The lab is not totally in anyone's being mevatel the asay. In other words, the lab is not totally in the asay unraveling. Again, it's important to recognize this in Rashi because there may be other shitas of Ishonin that are going to change the perspective of chemo velo chemo in this particular nekuda. So I want to emphasize when Rashi says in a totally the bitul asay, he doesn't just mean that it's not totally in his being mevata the assay, he's also saying more than that. The lav is not totally in the assay's becoming negated. whether through him or whether by itself or whether through somebody else. In other words, the lav is nigma. The lav is not totally in anything that's pending afterwards. Elamai, the ase is a tikuno so halav. And now Rashi says in Mamish Nefurish, this is what I just said. I said we're going to see it in Rashi Vayter. We have it a few words ahead. Rashi says it again on the base mechor. Shemisha she'avar halav nigma. There it is. Rashi wants, you see the massive stylist that Rashi is. Sometimes you don't see the beauty of Rashi because he's so succinct. But sometimes the beauty shines when Rashi has to be masbir more, and you see the precision of the words of Rashi. You can try to appreciate this a little bit. Rashi wants to present here in his, you know, Shono Hazav, as we like to say, the contrast between the two perspectives and how Rashi stresses on the one hand by the bitlo vlo bitlo, the point of eno digma chivata se viadai bitl olam, and now with the mandam kima vlo kima, Rashi says that the aseis tikunu shalav, the eno lav tov bitl hasei, and I say bitl doesn't just mean his being mevato, but bitl means even on its own. What does it mean, lakor hamalkis? The say is given to do what? What can the say do for you? It can. What's lakor hamalkis? What do you want to say? Translate. Give me a good English word for this.
Uproot.
Uproot, good. Any other words?
Take the place.
Take the place of, good. So a few words. Supplant. What I think Rashi means is to substitute for, basically. Supplant, uproot. In other words, the asay is tachas hamalkis. I think that these words probably would lend themselves to such an idea. The lav is nigmar. The asay can now be in place of the malkis. Now, this is kima vol kima. Now, what exactly is the moment of truth? In other words, to make that determination, is it going to be yischayv malkis, the lav is nigmar, but there is this substitution that could take place in the form of the assay. So when is the moment of truth that he'll either get Malkus or he'll opt for the alternative? That's a little less painful, obviously. So when will that happen? The Rashi here takes the following stand on it. Ukeshiyavo lebeizdin. So here it gets to get very interesting. Rashi says, Ukeshiyavo lebeizdin. There's going to be a point to come to Beizdin, and then it's going to basically come down to that question. Oh, you came I say the potter. Notice, the you could say in a certain sense, the chiyav malchus already is on him. Maybe not the gemara didn't per se abase it, but the idea that he's nischayav malchus that exists already. The lav was done. So what could happen is you came I say the potter. Oh, yoke, which is what he's mechuyav. So all of this is kimo v'lo kimo. Coming back to the Gemara's question now, so what's the Gemara asking Hanicha? So now Rashi says, if that's the case, if we go with the root of kimo v'lo kimo, that the lav is nigmar when he did it, and the assay could be a substitute for the malchus, and it all depends when you go to Beis Din, then we're no longer in a position to say what we said before, to answer the kasha from Onis Segiresh, to say, ko yama ba modach zer ko kideko amrit. We're no longer able to say that for his entire life he has the ability to take her back, because it's not true. He doesn't have that ability for the entire life. Because there is a certain statute of limitations, a certain point that it's going to have to be determined that if he's not going to do it by then he's going to get malchus. There's no koyama b'modav zeh. Why? If it doesn't happen right at the point that he gets to Beis Din, you'll cool. Okay, let's pause for a second and digest what we just said. What is the thrust of the kasha? That you can't say, if you say chemo below chemo, Rashi says it's going to be defined by when it comes to Beis Din. Rashi's going to tell you in a minute why it can't be defined by more time than that. But for now, Rashi is telling us the chemo of lo chemo has an end point. The end point is kishiyavo lebeizdin o yoke o yikaima ase. And that doesn't square with saying ko yama ba modal zeh. Why? Because ko yama zeh means that the opportunity exists for him to take her back, ko yama. And here we're saying that It's only Shiavu based. Now, let's just think about some Balabatisha questions here, which both are going to come up in Tosfos, which maybe you had as you read the Rashi. I mean, who says he's going to Beis Din tomorrow? He could keep avoiding Beis Din, and for all we know, the Kol Yamav is until the point he gets to Beis Din. It could be a Kol Yamav. In other words, the Kol Yamav, Beis Din is a new interference on the part of Beis Din. That Beis Din, you know, gets into Beis Din, but short of going to Beis Din, there's a Kol Yamav. Like, what's wrong with that? Why is it so problematic to learn the Kol Yamav and still say that when he gets to Beis Din, the decision is going to have to be one or the other? Like, why exactly? So that's one ha'ara that will come up in Tosfos. We'll have to see exactly how to be miyashiv. Tosfos is going to mention that there's another Rashi in Chulin that seems to have a different approach in Kimo v'lo Kimo that's much more limited in the time frame, literally to the time of the Aveira itself, that the Asei must be fulfilled in the same time within Tochid Edivor of that which he did the Aveira. Now, if that's the case, then we hear for sure what it would mean that you can't say Kol Yama B'modach there, it's everything is dependent on the moment of the Aveira. But the Rashi here, which says that you have till you go to Beis Din, that we have to know how that can fit. Why can't that fit, I should say? Why can't it fit with Kol Yamav? Kol Yamav, to the extent he doesn't go to Beis Din. We'll have to think about that question. Another Ready? Question. Yes, go ahead.
So how do we fit that with, like, with where Rashi says Shemisha Shavar Alav Nigmar with by the time he gets to Beis Din?
Okay, so again, the point is as follows. Misha Shavar Alav Nigmar. But there is a window of time that still allows him to substitute the Malkus. In other words, who's giving him Malkus? Beis Din's giving him Malkus. So when it comes to Beis Din, so now Beis Din is either going to give him Malkus or give him another option. And that other option is going to be available to him to exercise, to have that substitute, you could say, Lakar HaMalkus as the substitute. So Rashi says, according to that model, Kimo v'lo Kimo, then why would we say Kol Yama B'amod Bavzer? Why would we say that his entire life he has the option of being mavzir? He does it. The option expires at the point that it goes to Beis Din, and then there's going to have to be a choice. So that's what Rashi's question is. So our ha'ara is, yeah, but if he doesn't go to Beis Din, then it could be a month, it could be 25 years, it could be Kol Yamav. So why can't you say the Kol Yamav separate from Beis Din? Beis Din, okay, if Beis Din comes in and forces the issue, so then it's going to have to be settled. But to the extent that he doesn't go to Beis Din, so the issue is basically Kol Yamav. So, like, why is it such a problem for the Gemara to learn Pshat in the Kol Yamav and still learn Kimo v'lo Kimo? That's one Ha'ara in Pshat. And again, if I were to learn that the issue is, it's not going to depend on Beis Din, but the Kimo has to do it literally at the time of the Aveira, then, of course, this question falls away. Because then it all is about the moment of the Aveira, and then you can't say Kol Yamav. But if you say that it has to be totally in Beis Din, so why can't the Kol Yamav be separate from Beis Din? If it won't be Beis Din, if Kol's money doesn't go to Beis Din, there's a Kol Yamav. So there's a simple answer that Tosfos seems to say at the end of the Tosfos. We'll soon get to it. The other Ha'ara, which comes up in Tosfos further down on the Amud and Amud Beis, again, it's Negei Pshat and Rashi, so I'm speaking it out now, is that, okay, maybe B'derech Klal, Kimo v'lo Kimo, is a function of going to Beis Din. And so long as you go to Beis Din and then the choice is made not to do the assay, then that's it, there's Malkus. But Kol Yamav is a special dispensation given by the case of Onus Yegiresh, but here the Torah extends the time beyond Beis Din. Like, why does it have to suddenly throw out the entire premise of Kimo v'lo Kimo by every other Nitzak assay? Maybe this one happens to be that the time frame is longer. Maybe that's the special halacha here, Kol Yamav. Why does it have to suddenly be a kasha on the mandam kimo v'lo kimo? That's what Tosfos also asks. Rishonim, I believe, also ask it, but it could be the answer, as Tosfos says, is we don't want to say that. We don't want to make this like the odd man out. This must indicate that all the time Nitzak say is very different than what you're saying. Otherwise, why would the Torah suddenly here give you a different time frame than typical? But these are the two ha'aras in Pshat in Rashi. Now, in the end of Rashi, Rashi does add something else. He says, what's behind the Gemara's question, Kimo v'lo Kimo has to do with Beis Din. And therefore, you can't say, oh, Mod V'Hazer, because once you go to Beis Din, it's over. What do you mean? Maybe the Kimo v'lo Kimo should have to do with should have to do with something else. Maybe kimo velo kimo should allow him to do it after that. Rashi says, the halakha lemeimar. You can't tell me yikayim achas man. Maybe the point of kimo velo kimo is, as long as you mekayim it sometime, why am I saying beis din? Maybe kimo velo kimo, Rashi is a chora addressing what we'll see according to other Rishonim, in fact, is the real pshat of kimo velo kimo. We'll see many Rishonim, as opposed to Rashi, don't say kimo velo kimo depends on beis din. They don't say it depends on toch kedei dibor of the aveira, but they say kimo velo kimo depends on the length of time, whatever, however long it is, as long as yimekayim yaseh, whenever. The only nekuda that differentiates kimo velo kimo, bitul velo bitul, according to other Rishonim, is if you're mevatel the aseh versus if it becomes impossible to do the aseh, not through your own doing. Madam bitul velo bitul, it's going to require you to be mevatel the aseh v'yadayim to get malchus. Kimo velo kimo will mean that as long as it becomes impossible to do the mekayim the aseh, however that happened, that's already called lo kimo, and you get malchus. Rashi cannot allow for such a middle ground. Rashi, bitlo vo bitlo means you're mevatel da'aseh v'yadayim that you can mekayim it. Kimo vo kimo has a certain point that Rashi here identifies as kashiyavol abeisin. And at that point, the lav is nigmar, according to Rashi, and therefore, this is the defining moment. You can have the aseh tachas amalkis, or you get malkis. Rashi says, in explaining the Gemara's kasha, Rashi needed to say this. Because if you say that kimo velo kimo would allow him indefinite amount of time as long as the aseh could be fulfilled, then the Gemara has no kasha, obviously, right? The whole basis for Rashi learning pshat in the Gemara, as he does, that the ha-nicha is going on the kol yamav, and ha-nicha umad bitlo bitlo, not kimo velo kimo, it's not going to work, is dafka because Rashi is learning pshat, kimo velo kimo is not compatible with the kol yamav, because there's a certain point that it's over, because the malchus yirei chayiv, and there's no option of kimo beyond that. But Rashi has to stress, why is that? Maybe you'll tell me, the halakha lemeimar yikayim le'achas man. So here you have to know what Rashi is going to answer to this kasha. Because you can't tell me yikayim le'achas man. The imkein, because if that were true, lo kiyin hechidami. Then how could you have a lo kiyin? Lo'olam u'yacholom, ani mekayim. And you can never have a low key and being chayim malchus. He'll always say, I'm mekayim. But here we can step in and ask Akash and Rashi, what do you mean, low key and hechidami? Didn't I just give you a suggestion that other Rishonim in fact embrace? What did the Rishonim say? I spoke out outside. That low key will mean that it becomes impossible to be mekayim. But that impossibility was not through your doing, it happened by itself. So Rashi doesn't address that. Rashi says you can't say low key. And you get malchus, and it's not about beis din because he'll always say ani mekayim. So exactly what did Rashi mean? But lemaisa, you can have a lokiyim if it becomes impossible. This is a strong ha'ara imshat in Rashi that we have to think about. And I don't want to say an answer now because it's going to be depending on a sugya, a part of Gemara that we didn't read yet. So I don't want to get anyone too confused. But l'chora, this requires a hesber. What Rashi means at the end. The Rashi could not allow for a Ikaim Achaz Man. And again, but Rashi is forced into this corner because it's only with that Rashi has a way to explain the Gemara's Kasha according to the Pshat that he's presenting with the Girsa that we have in front of us. So the Ha Nicha Lamanda Amar Bitlo Velo Bitlo, Lamanda Makimo Velo Kimo Maikal Meimar, again, for Rashi in short, it's all revolving around the Teretz of Amod Vazer. Amod Vazer, Ko Yom Amod Vazer, that can only work bitlo vo bitlo, which gives you a long amount of time, short of being mevatel the Adayin, that gives you the availability of the Mekayim the Aseh, and therefore that's where there's no Malchus, then we understand it's a Lashon Yitagaseh. But how do we explain, according to Melkimo vo Lokimo, how can you say Ko Yom Amod Vazer? It's not so. Because the template for Yitagaseh is always about the Mekayim Yasei to be absolved of the Malchus at the time you go to Beis Din. And here we're saying Kol Yamav, that the Yasei is available, Kol Yamav, and that's not true. According to Mamakim Lokimo, it has to be that at a certain point, the Yasei is fulfilled, otherwise you get Malchus. And to make this the exception to the normal rule, Rashi doesn't want to think is possible because that doesn't jive with the normal standards of nitat aseh. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Who had a question? So we had a mouthful. We had a mouthful in the kasha of the Gemara. What does the Gemara answer? We turn the omelet. Gemara says, you know what? No problem at all, because why did we have to give this pshat of a modav there? Who are we out to defend? Who are we out to defend in saying this answer of Yom HaModach Zer? None other than who?
Yochanan
says, Rav Shekad Moasei gets Malkus. The problem he had almost in the about face, he or Rabbi Barbachana in the about face because of Onus Shegiresh. We came to the rescue by answering the kasha of Onus Shegiresh that will be able to be Masada in a loka, because we can convert it into Rav Shemitah Gassay because I'm HaModach Zer. It's all for Rabbi Yochanan. It says the Gemara, beautiful. Mi dihu taima el Rabbi Yochanan. The entire reasoning, who had to darsh in this whole drash of Kol Yamav, is for Rabbi Yochanan, who had the Shita Rav Shekad Moasei, would be Lokan Olav. So what do we make of Onus Shegiresh? But guess what? Ha'amal Rabbi Yochanan Latana, when the person who was quoting a brisa, that's called Tana here. Tana means that there were people who would report brises in front of Amorayim, and they were referred to as a Tana. Tana means he was learning up a brisa, and he said the following to Rabbi Yochanan, the following, or rather Rabbi Yochanan said to him, because he said it in a way that didn't sound correct, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, here's what you have to say, this is how it should be read. Ni bitlo chayev lo bitlo pater. You should say it as follows. The case of Chayiv Bitlo Chayiv, in the Vatu there say Ben Yochai Malkus, Lo Bitlo Pater. Because what exactly happened? The Tani Tana Kamed of Yochanan. This person came and reported the Brayis as follows. Kol Mitzvah Lo Sase Shishbo Kamasei. Every Lav Hanitaka Asei. Any Lav the Torah signs an Asei with it. Says that the person, Kiyam Asei Sheba, if you're Mekayim the Asei Pater, then you're Pater for Malkus. Bitlo Asei Sheba, in the Vatu that say Chayiv. Now, obviously, something is not lining up here, because he starts by saying Kiyem Asei Sheba Pater, and then he says Bito Asei Sheba is Chayiv. So something is not matching, right? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan catches him on that. He says, Maika Amit, what are you saying? Kiyem Pater. You're saying Kiyem is Pater. Kiyem Asei Sheba Pater. Then what would follow from that is Go Kiyem Chayiv. Then you said Bitel Chayiv, then the contrast to that would be Lo Bitel Pater. But you're not matching them up in the right way. You're saying Kiyem Pater Bitel Chayiv. So obviously you have to line it up in such a way that they're contrasting each other in the same language. So what should you be saying? So here Rav Yochanan corrected him to the following version. To me, Bitlo Velo Bitlo. What you should be saying is Bitlo Velo Bitlo, meaning you should say Bitel Chayiv, Lo Bitel Pater, or the other word, or whatever it is. In other words, Lo Bitel Pater and Bitel Chayiv. That's of Yochanan himself. That is the Afulishitas, so everything is well. But Shem Ben Lakish Omer says the Gemara, but there's another man to Omer who argues of Yochanan, and he said, Kimo Velo Kimo. And then the Gemara is going to work out another level in understanding the Machokis that's going to take us to the next level of Havana in the Sugya, but let's pause for a second. So meanwhile, what emerges in Cheshbon HaPshat in the Gemara? That Rabbi Yochanan, l'shitaso, had to give a teretz for Onus Shegiresh. The teretz works daska l'shitaso, because he owes bitlo v'lo bitlo, and that works to say that what, that kol yam b'modav zeh. Where does that leave the Shlokish? This will have to see the Rashi in a second. Where does that leave the Shlokish? The Shlokish is of the shita of kimo v'lo kimo. So according to the premise of the Gemara's question, you can't give the teretz of Amod Vazir, Kol Yom of Amod Vazir for Rish Lakish, right? Because it all mattered, it depended on an earlier time, it's not a Kol Yom of anymore. But then where does that leave Rish Lakish on the issue of what Rav Yochanan said? So Rashi does the math for us. Where is Rish Lakish going to be now in terms of the idea of Rashi Nitag Lassay and Rashi Kadmo Lassay? Rabosai, what do you say? What's Rashi going to say? What would you say? Based on the cheshbon of the Gemara? If the Gemara says, Kimo v'lo kimo cannot work, cannot square with Kol Yamav, Amodav there. But for Rabbi Yochanan, everything is good, because Rabbi Yochanan Rav Yochanan needed to have a teretz for his shita. So we have a teretz for him. But Shulakish doesn't have the teretz. Must be that he doesn't need a teretz. What doesn't need a teretz?
He
doesn't hold a koyama, but he doesn't need a code of koyama, because what would he hold? Does.
No malchus for Lashon
Kodmaaseh.
Exactly. For him, Lashon Kodmaaseh is no different than Kodmaaseh. So says Rashi. So suddenly what comes out of the Gemara, again, because of the cheshbon of the Gemara, comes out that way, that Reish Lakish cannot agree with Rav Yochanan. What we have to think about, in just a few minutes together, is does that issue of Kodmaaseh being different or not different have anything to do with the underlying lumdus? And if so, how? Because all we did right now is figure it out based on the cheshbon of the Gemara in terms of the logic of the Gemara. But in terms of the underlying lumdus, like we have to go back and revisit Kodmaaseh, Nitta Glaseh, and say, how does that issue in any way on a conceptual level relate to the various shitas Akimo Volokimu Bitlu Bitlu, which we're still starting to scratch the surface of that. But this is what Rashi is going to say. Let's read in the Rashi. Midi time El Rav Yochanan on top of the Amud. Mi Hutzvach Lidros. Who is it that had to darshan Ko Yama Bamodav there? Who had to darshan this drasha of Ko Yama? Rav Yochanan. Sha'omar, he's the one who said, well, Sasha Shekad Moasei Lokin Allah. The Kasha Lei Ona Shigiresh. And the problem he had, Rashi's Lishitasa, that the problem was Rav Yochanan's problem, right? Who was Hadar Bey? That's the Kashalei, right? Kashalei wasn't just the one who reported Rav Yochanan. Rashi learns that he was Choser. So Rashi says, Kashalei, he had a problem, Onif Shigiresh, the Ketani Inaloke. And then what we had to say, Behutzach Laso, Selashi Nita Glasei, at the end of the day, Rav Yochanan actually gave the Teretz too. That was apparently, Rav Yochanan came to that realization as well. It wasn't just Rav. So he had to answer in the way he did, that it's called a nita glasei, based on a modav there. So ha'amal Rav Yochanan letana lekaman, we'll see in a second in the Gemara, it's ni bitlo chayev lo bitlo pater. Says Rashi, avo Reish Lakish, but Reish Lakish, letani kimo velo kimo. According to Reish Lakish that we're going to quote in a second, el simo kimo, lo darish leila modav there. He does not make such a drasha. He won't be able to. Ella lefnei agerishin. So for him, what is the halacha of the Torah losi leisha and the kol yamav? There's nothing here that speaks to after gerishin. The mitzvah saseh of ones is lefnei gerishin. Lomar kol yamav tia lo leisha v'lo yishalchena. In other words, the basic losi leisha is what's mechayev him to take her back because he has to be married his entire life. So obviously he has to take her back, but not with a special new mitzvah that directs itself to the case of post-gerishin. It's the halach of losi alisha, so he can't, v'yishachenu, the day, so comes out, what do I have here? Lav na shenita glasei, but a lav shekad moaseh. What follows? Onus shegirish ma'vzina in a loket, with the day, lav shekad moaseh, lav shenita glasei, shavin, they are equivalent, v'ein loken aleim. Ella, again, so what would that mean? Again, Rashi point, in fact, says it's totally in Beis Din, and therefore Reish Lakish is going to be on the other side of the issue. Now, of course, we can ask the immediate question that's going to be coming up with Rishonim. If Reish, it's a similar variation of a question we asked in Amid Aleph, according to Rav Yochanan when he was Choser, namely the following question. If Reish Lakish holds Rav Shekad Moaseh gets Malkis, I mean, does not get Malkus, take that back. Rav Shekad does not get Malkus. So what problem would we have now in the Mishnah, Dashiyud Gimel, and Malkus? What case should we now...
Habal Mitashtameh.
Mitashtameh. Because that was what the Gemara brought as the Mishnah Raya, Kim Amara, that it has to be that Kodmaaseh gets Malkus because of Bal Mitashtameh. So Reish Lakish, who in fact holds Rav Shekad Moaseh does not get Malkus, he'd have to find another answer. And so we've already addressed that issue from the perspective of Rav Yochanan, who was Choser at the time he was Choser. So we have to revisit the question here. Tosfos is going to raise the question and suggest an answer, the Baal Amor, and we saw the Ritva about it. So again, that's a question to keep in mind. Another question to keep in mind in the Cheshbon that I just alluded to is true according to Reish Lakish, it follows that Rav Shekad Moaseh Lapshuk HaMaseh will also be Pater, because he doesn't have the answer available to him of a Modas there. But does the question of Kadmo Aseh being Pater Achayev have anything to do on a Lumbish level with the Machlokes Bitlov or Bitlov Kimov Lo Kimov? Separate from the Cheshbin that we made, the logical Cheshbin. In other words, does it make more sense to explain why a Pater from Malkus, even when it was a Kadmo Aseh, because Reish Lakish holds that the lab was Nigmar already, and Kimov Lo Kimov gives her the option to have a substitute. So for him, it's okay to have the substitute, even by a case where the assay could have been fulfilled before the lab was violated, even by a Kadmo assay, but we understand the model of Reish Lakish is more compatible with understanding that Kadmo assay is not any different than the Tekla assay. Whereas Rav Yochanan, who sees the idea of the link in a different way between the lav and the assay, that what's mechayev malchus is the bitul assay that comes in the wake of the averus halav, and it's that's what's the last clinching part of the averus halav in effect. Not to get too precise in the language, but the basic structure of Rashi. So does that make it easier to understand why we would only say that link of the lav with the bitul assay by a Nitaglase and less by a Kadmose? Something to think about over Shabbos. In other words, think about, I want you to think about the question. We proved it from the Gemara's Cheshbon of the Gemara's Kash, and Rashi spells it out for us. But now, in terms of the underlying logic, can we understand a little bit why it should be more so for Reish Lakish that Kadmose would be Pater, and less so for Rabbi Yochanan, and that Rabbi Yochanan's Bitlo Bo Bitlo would be more understandable why Kadmose is different? Okay, one more Rashi, and then one more Ha'ara to end the Shir for this part of Shir. Yeah, the Rashi continues, just to finish for the Gemara that we read. Amalei Maika Amrit, Ibe Kiyem Tisni Pater, if by Kiyem you're learning Pater, Kiyem Pater, below Kiyem, Tisni Chayv, then you should say below Kiyem, Tisni Chayv, you should say, not low Kiyem, what does it say here? Kiyem asei sheba pater, bitul asei sheba chayev. So you should say, it would come out, you should say, below kiyem chayev. Ba'api shelo bitul. Even if it's not bitul, you're saying bitul chayev. Even bitul tisni chiyuva, if you want to say, by bitul you're chayev, then al karchak tisni petur below bitul. Then it would be not, the petur would not be on kiyem, be on lo bitul, ba'api shelo kiyem. So it doesn't seem to add up. Yeah, it's semantics in terms of how to read the words of the Gemara. The Rambam says it quite in a little slightly different way, but its basic idea is the same. The two sides don't add up. Hachi gashinan, tni bitlo v'lo bitlo. Bitlo atzei shebachayev, lo bitlo atzei shebapater. That's Rav Yochanan. And the shvagis is kimo v'lo kimo. Kimo pater lo kimo kisha omim lo kayem. Rashi again stresses the fact that they tell him malkinos. Rav Yochanan mukim lo masnita, the lav hanita glase. The ilu b'lav shekadma se spirule delokin. Rav Yochanan has to work out the Mishnah, the brice, I should say, of onas shegireish by being lav hanita glase. And the shlokish ben nitak bin kadma se shavit. Okay, so there's a whole other level in the Gemara that we haven't yet seen about hasvash shafik. We'll have to get to that. We have to look at the tostasin. But I want to ask you another question, which I alluded to yesterday. And how does everything we began to read today square with what we've seen thus far about Lav Hanita Grasei being Pater by virtue of its not being similar to Lav de Chassima? None of that gets mentioned in our conversation of Bitlov Lo Bitlov Kimov Lo Kimov. But if you have this idea that a Lav that's not like Lav de Chassima, namely, Na'av Hanita Glaseh, and that was the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that we excluded Lav Hanita Glaseh because it's not like Lav de Chassima. It's also that Rashi in Pei Dalet and Pesachim, the second part of the Rashi, the Od, Rashi gives us a second reason of Nita Glaseh being Pater because it's not Lav de Chassima. Who, if any, of these two shitas does that link fit with? Because here we're talking about the possibility of getting Malkus. Lamanda Amar Kimo Glo Kimo, if you're not Mekayim the Assay, according to Rashi now, when you come to Beis Din, so the Assay becomes a substitute for the Malkus. According to the Manda Bitko Vobitko, it's conceivable to get Malkus if you're Mevatel Aseh Yadayim in an irreversible way. And now I ask you, but there's another basis not to get Malkus. And if you ask me, I think you should never get Malkus. Why? Because the fact that the Torah linked the Lav to an Aseh, doesn't that mean that the Lav is unlike the classic profile of a Lav de Chasima? And therefore, when would you get Malkus? Not when you're not Mekayim the Aseh, and not when you're Mevatel the Aseh, but never. But that doesn't seem to fit with anybody, because the whole machlokas is when will you get Malkus, at what point? So is it possible right away to get Malkus when you're not Mekayim the Aseh immediately or by Beis Din? Or is it only when you're Mevatel the Aseh, the Adayim? Or according to some Rishonim, if it becomes impossible to Mekayim the Aseh? But how about none of the above? It's a Lav that's not like Lav the Chasima. Correct? Because the Torah gave an essay with it. We saw the Sugis in Timura that seemed to be pushing in that direction. The essay doesn't have to even have a Shaychis to the Lav. Forget about not being able to Mekayim the essay or making it impossible. There never was an essay, Daska, in this case. There's an essay somewhere else. I mean, Tosis had cases where the essay is not mentioned next to the Lav, but we also had a possibility where the essay is a whole different situation, but the Lav happens to have that case included, and there's an essay somewhere out there. So how could you even talk about the possibility of Malkus of a low kiyam or the Vito variety when you simply have no possibility at all of the essay bepoel? So exactly how could that fit, if anything, with Al-Gemar? But we're going to have to see as we go forward whether it might possibly fit with another of these shittas. Could we argue that when you mevatel the aseh, it makes it like a lav de chasima? Could that be a svara that one could entertain? I don't know. To see if we can identify such a svara. Or the maybe the easy way out is to say there's a third shita. Not every sugya has to square with every other sugya in shas. You know, there's a lot of times with different shittas that we find different places. We have two shittas here, Yochim and Shlokish, and we have another Mahalach, a third Mahalach, that would also argue that there should never be Malkus. I don't know. Is that also a possibility? Again, this is all in abeyance here, that we have to, you know, keep all these balls up in the air, you know, even as we go forward.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Is it possible that maybe someone wouldn't hold that Kol Yamav is a Lav Shinit Deglase, and therefore Lo Dami Lav Lechasima wouldn't come up even?
I don't hear. What's your question? Maybe what?
I'm saying that there wouldn't be a kasha of like what. Maybe you shouldn't get Malkus at all because it's not dami to lav de chasima. Because maybe the kol yamav isn't really a lav shenit deglase.
So why is it saying malzir ve'in aloke? I mean, it's you're saying even if he's not malzir. You mean you might as well do the essay anyway. Saying malzir ve'in aloke. You should do the essay. Two separate things. It's not that the malzir saves you from Malkus. You're saying just like a Madame Bitko Bo Bitko. Maxi, you ought to do this. In a loke. You're saying
yeah.
Even. Yeah, okay, you're right. You can say that maybe it has nothing to do with Bitko Bo Bitko. It's simply the fact that you have an essay. Yeah. I'm just going to ask you another question and have just to think about over a lot of things to think about over Shabbos. According to Rashi, Kimo Velo Kimo, that you chai Malkus right away, the love is Nigma. But the assay could be tachas hamalkus, lakar hamalkus. Let's say a person comes to Beis Din, doesn't do the assay, and gets malkus. Should he be mekayim the assay? Is there any point in being mekayim the assay at that point? Yaakov, you made me think about this question because what you asked. So I'm asking this question also. Something I'm thinking about myself. Look, if you understand that the assay is meant to be okay the Malkus, tachas Malkus, you almost, and by the way, when you, hopefully you begin to think about these Lashonas of Rashi that we had yesterday in Shir. Rashi uses a Lashon sometimes the onsho, right? Rashi sometimes says it's a kapara, sometimes Rashi says onesh, Rashi davdali, Rashi. So to the extent that you hear the word onesh, you can certainly understand the lumbus of kimo velo kimo very well, in terms of the idea that there is a chiyuv malkus, sfera can play, but there's a tachas hamalkus. So there's an onesh in the form of one of two possibilities. There's an onesh called malkus, But you can substitute the onesh malchus for an onesh called kiyam ha'esek. Very novel idea, but that the tachas ha'malchus certainly lends itself to such an idea. It's tachas ha'malchus. It's an onesh of kiyam ha'esek. Okay, so take your pick. Take your pick. If the asay's definition is the fact that it's an onesh, tachas ha'malchus, so then could you conceive of the possibility, sounds strange, but maybe it's correct, maybe it's not, that if a person will end up opting for the malchus, then perhaps there's nothing that should compel him to mekayim the essay. Have you ever heard of such a thing? The Torah puts an essay in the Torah. It's counted the meaning of mitzvahs. The Rambam, remember, uses the fact that something is called nitzik l'assay to prove that it's counted the meaning of mitzvahs. The Rambam b'hayos mosi yakodesh is counted as a mitzvah. V'haraya, the Gemara calls it nitzik l'assay. So, a riddle. Is it possible to have a mitzvah in the Torah, counted as tarig mitzvahs, that one is not obligated to fulfill, even though technically they're not exempt, but they're not obligated anymore? Why? Because they got the malchus, and the assay's whole definition is to be tachas malchus. Or am I being silly? In other words, b'maisa it could be tachas malchus, but it doesn't lose its identity as a separate mitzvah assay. And if the mitzvah assay exists in the Torah, every Jew is obligated to mekayim any mitzvah assay. You could have mekayim the assay in a good way and used it to absolve your malchus. You ended up giving yourself extra heartache or extra backache or whatever you want to call it, getting malchus. So you ended up getting the malchus, but it doesn't mean you don't do the assay anyway. You could have used the assay to serve as an onesh in lieu of the malchus. If you ended up getting the malchus, you still have to do the assay. Or could you argue that maybe not? Maybe if you got the malchus, you don't have to do the assay. I don't know. It's another interesting question that I was thinking about. A lot of interesting in Yanin that, as we see, are beginning to emerge in the Sugya to sharper focus. Any other questions before we do Chumash? Okay.